Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Well, today, I'm going to continue a series called The Ride. How many of you guys were here last week? Anybody here last week? Yeah, good, good, good. We are continuing this series, and here's kind of the subtitle for this series: How to Get the Most Out of Our Life with Christ. How to get the most out of our life with Christ. Now, here's something that I'm learning. I'm getting older. Anybody getting older? I know some of you guys are looking at me like, you're a pup, and you know, you just need to stop talking about old and all that stuff. But in July, I will be the big 4-0. You can send all the gifts. They can be in black wrapping. I don't care. turning 40 years old, and here's what I'm learning about life, and again, something that God is teaching me. You know, life isn't just about the experience. It's about who you get to experience life with. Does that make sense? Is that good? I like that because here's what I've learned, and I'll give you an example. I love being in ranch rodeos. Obviously, our church fits on 2 a year. I love being in ranch rodeos. I love being on a team. You know why? Because when you get smoked by a wild cow, at least there's somebody on the ground with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at least there's someone to either bleed with you or to, you know, save you, okay? You know, so you get to experience that cool experience together. Another thing is, when I ride my horse, even, I love riding horses rather than four-wheelers or whatever, because I get to experience, you know, the country life, the ranch way of life with even my horse. It's just a great thing. I get to experience that. I'll give you another example. Anybody ever been to London? London, England. Yes, right there. A few people have been to London. Actually, I'll tell you a little story. I was in Israel. I was coming back from Israel. I'd spent 2 weeks in Israel, and my layover was in London, England. I got there, and I looked like a total tourist. I had my camera on. You know, I'm like walking around, you know. But I get there at 9 p.m. in the evening in London, and I stayed up till 9 a.m., all night long, and I went everywhere in the dark. Now, anybody know what Big Ben is? The big clock? Yeah, got to see Big Ben. It was awesome. Went to Buckingham Palace. Got to, you know, stand out there. I don't think the soldiers were on duty at night because it was like 3 a.m. But I got to go to a place called Piccadilly Circus, and it's kind of like the club scene, the hangout scene. And I got to, you know, I thought I was going to get mugged. Everybody's looking at me like, he's a tourist, take his camera, you know, and I'm like, oh, crap. And so anyways, got to experience that. But here's the sad part. I experienced that by myself, right? I mean, when I got home, I was like, I went to London. And they were like, so what? And they didn't have a clue. You know, I mean, it's like I got to experience that myself, but I didn't get to share, again, that experience with anyone. Well, here's what I want to do. While we get to the blessing of experiencing this life with other humans, with even our animals, here's what I've learned. And I want to let you in on this. There is no greater satisfaction in life than a life shared with Christ. Again, I've been to London, I've been to Israel. Here's what I've learned about going places. I mean, I've been in you know New England, I've been to New York City, I've been to Chicago, I've been to all these places, but here's what I've learned. Happiness is not in a place, it's in a person. And that person is Jesus. And so again, it's not necessarily about the experience in life, it's about who you get to experience it with. And when you share a life with Christ, guess what? You get to share all that comes along with him. The hope, the peace, the security, the fun, the excitement, the fulfillment that he brings to the table. And all of that far outweighs the experiences of this world. It does every time. And you say, well, what about all the experiences of this world? Here's what else I've learned. I've learned that even the experiences of riding a horse, of being married or loving my kids and my job, all those things are even more enhanced and more satisfying when I share them with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he's in the center of my job, then I get more satisfaction out of it. When he's in the center of my marriage, I get more fulfillment and more satisfaction out of it. When he's the center of my kids and my relationship, I get more, you know, fulfillment and satisfaction out of it. And so again, here's what I want you to say, and I said it last week. This is not a self-help series. I'm not Dr. Phil, I'm not Oprah, I'm not on the OWN show. That was a joke. Some of you guys maybe don't watch TV. Does anybody not know who Oprah is? Come on now. You guys live in the sticks like I do? You better know who Oprah is. But anyways, again, it's not about, just a self-help series, because here's why. This is about getting the most out of our life while on this ride with the Savior of the world. And that changes everything. It changes everything. Yeah, can I get a little hoop and a little holler today? I'm taking my vest off. It's time to get serious. Again, and you say, okay, Bo, what's the point? Well, last week we learned that this ride that we get to live, it's an adventure. It's an adventure. Again, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, guess what? You sign up for adventure. You know why? Because life is unpredictable. You know, living life with Jesus, he says, I will light your path, not your highway. Does that make sense? And so again, you may be thinking, well, what's going to be ahead? What's going to be ahead in my life? No, listen, he doesn't always show us what's ahead, but he is always with us to ride alongside of us. And so again, it's an adventure. It's unpredictable. You can expect the unexpected. You can expect things to, you know, split in two sometimes, right? I mean, you ever ridden a horse and all of a sudden that sucker splits in two and you're on the ground? That happens in life too. It happens all the time. And you say, well, why is it so adventurous? Because Jesus was adventurous. I mean, again, some of us want to, you know, see Jesus as carrying a little lamb wearing a robe. And he did. I mean, he wore a robe. He had sandals on, all that stuff. But can I just tell you, he didn't just have fun in the temple teaching all the time. He walked on water. You say, he could have taken the land. No, he decided, watch this. I'm going to live life to the fullest, and I'm going to walk on water. Guess what else he did? He went to the wedding. He went to the wedding reception afterwards, and he turned the water into wine. You know why? Because he was there for a good time. And you say, did he get drunk and, you know, all that? No, listen, drunkenness is never a good time. But having fun is an adventure. And I believe that Jesus wanted to have fun. He liked hanging out with people that had fun. And he enjoyed life. And so therefore, again, this life is an adventure. Solomon, I mean, the king of the world then, he was the greatest, wisest man. He was the richest man. And even the wisest and the richest man said, this life is monotonous. This life is predictable. This life is boring until you add God to the mix. Remember that? And so listen, if we're going to get the most out of this life with Christ, then we have to realize that it's an adventure. And it's an adventure because, and here were the 2 points last week, you need to take a risk. Any risk that is for the cause of Christ is a right risk. And you need to take some steps of faith. You know why? Because God will reward you when you take a risk and you take a step of faith. And you say, well, what's the reward? Again, I said this last week, but the reward is God gets the glory. That's the reward, right? Well, today I want to look at the second way that we can get the most out of our life with Christ. You ready for this? Are you taking notes? Come on now. This means right. This is what that means. Grab that little orange card and write something down. But here's the second thing, or way that we can get the most out of our life with Christ. You ready? Here we go. We must realize that this life is a gift. I'm going to say it again. We must realize that this life is a gift. And you say, well, what's a gift? Well, a gift is something given by someone who cares about you, right? I mean, I've received a lot of gifts and they were given to me. Why? Because the people cared about me. And guess what they wanted me to do with the gift? I was given that gift so that I can enjoy it and use it, right? so I can enjoy it and use it. Well, I believe that it's the same thing applies when God, because he loved us so much that he gave us this life as a gift, and our response should be the same. Our response should be the same. So again, this ride is a gift. Now, here's two subpoints that I want to make, and I'm done, all right? Today, I want to look at two ways to make sure we are riding this ride as a gift. Number one is this. You ready? This ride is a gift. Enjoy it. Let me say it again. This ride is a gift. We are called to enjoy it. Let me show you where it says it in the Word, because some of you guys are like, oh, this was a self-help series. I mean, we're supposed to enjoy life? Oh, really? Can I just talk a little sweeter? I'm feeling it today. I had my energy bar right before I got up here. Listen to Ecclesiastes. Solomon is speaking again. Again, he's the king, and he's the richest man, the wisest man. Listen to what he says in chapter 11. He says, light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember that there will be many dark days. Everything still is to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. Now, again, you say, well, what's the point of those scriptures? Well, did you see those words in there? He says a new day is what? Pleasant. He says we are to rejoice in every day, and we are to enjoy every minute of it, and we are to take it all in. Now, again, some of you are here today and you're like, oh, Bo, no, I don't know about this enjoyment part. I mean, again, here's what I've learned about some Christians. I believe that some Christians struggle with enjoying life. And I've been a Christian since I was 9, so I can talk about Christians, right? I believe that a lot of Christians, they struggle with enjoying life. You know why? Because a lot of Christians are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly fun. They're no earthly fun. I mean, again, they look around and they go, why do we have to be joyful about? And they struggle with it. Their idea of enjoying life is struggling in it. They're like, oh, if I'm not struggling, then I'm not a real Christian. That's crap. You know what? I believe that God wants us to enjoy our life. And you say, Bo, aren't there going to be dark times? Yes, the Word just told us that there's going to be dark times. But and again, let's be honest. This life isn't always a little pony ride. I mean, right? You ever been on the ponies at the circus fair? My kids have been on the little ponies. It costs like $19. But here's the thing, life is not always a pony ride. You're going to take a risk, you're going to take a step of faith, and you, in your mind, are going to fail at it. Again, I don't believe that maybe that's what God looks at it like, because again, he can use any kind of, you know, mistake or failure, but again, you're going to think, well, I just failed at that. Even when you take a step of faith for the cause of Christ, you may be rejected, you may be persecuted, you may be made fun of, you may, again, suffer for the sake of Christ, but even in that, you can enjoy it. Even in that, you can. You know why? Because it's for the glory of the Lord. It's for the glory of the Lord. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be what? Be glad, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. Again, sometimes life splits in two and you get yard darted. Again, let's just be honest, crap happens. But when it does, you can still be glad. Because Christ is with you. Now, again, you say, well, okay, what's the point? I believe that so many times as Christians, we can focus on what the struggles of the world is. I mean, some of you guys, again, you need to get rid of Dish Network because all you want to talk about is what's wrong with the world. You know what I'm saying? You ever been around people like that? Hey, did you hear, saw, you know, what, you know, I mean, they just kind of want to, you know, build, they just want to tell you what's wrong in the world. I hate the news. I hate it. It's depressing. It makes me sick. And again, are we supposed to be concerned with the ways of the world? Absolutely. Are we supposed to take, you know, take care of people that are suffering? Absolutely. But if all we do is listen to the struggles and focus in on the struggles, then we are not going to live the life to the fullest. And it's a choice. Listen to Solomon again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, "For everything there is a season, a time to, under every activity under earth. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to what? Cry and a time to what? Laugh." I like that. "A time to what? Grieve and a time to what? Dance." Come on now. Play that funky music, white boy. You want me to rap? Play something.
And time to every purpose.
I mean, all right. "A time to be born, a time to die." I feel like smoking pot. I mean, seriously, wasn't that played at Woodstock or something? But again, there's a time. That's a great song. I mean, that was great. Give it up for Matt. I mean, that was perfect. But here's the truth. Here's what Solomon says. He says, you know what? There's a time to cry. There's a time to grieve. But there's also a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. And can I be honest with you? Here's what else I've learned. And again, I knock Christians sometimes because, again, I like to be around fun, generous Christians. I don't like to be around fuddy-duddies. But here's what I've learned. Sometimes I believe that the non-Christians, they know how to enjoy life more. I mean, I'm just being honest. I hang out with non-Christians sometimes and I have more fun. Now, I'm not talking about drunken parties where you bump and grind with the club and, you know, sleep with someone you just met. I'm not talking about that kind of fun. That's never fun. But I'm talking about enjoying life. I can go out to eat with a guy who doesn't love Jesus and we enjoy a great dinner, some great entertainment, and we might even go dance with my wife, with me, not my buddy. Yeah. Things are getting weird up in here. But here's the thing. I don't know about you, but again, I think sometimes people that aren't Christians, they're not contained. I mean, again, so many times we feel like, oh, we're going to be contained and we can't enjoy this life and we got to fit in this little Christian box and we got to worry about what other Christians are going to think. What are the religious people going to think? And sometimes I look at my other friends who don't know Jesus and I think, man, you guys know how to enjoy life. I'm going to hang out with you. I mean, they don't mind being crazy. They don't mind having fun. They don't mind, you know, loving each other to the fullest. Sometimes I feel more loved by the people who don't love Jesus than I do the people that do love Jesus. I don't know why that is. I mean, again, some people, so many people, they just don't know how to have fun. They don't know how to enjoy themselves. And again, let's keep this real. So many people that don't know Jesus are looking for the next thrill to fulfill them because they haven't met the meaning of life in Jesus. So let's get that right. You know what I'm saying? So think about that as well. I mean, so many people are searching for meaning and they're doing it in, you know, drugs and alcohol and all that other stuff, but it never fulfills them. So again, as a Christian, you do have an advantage, but you have to take advantage of it and enjoy this life. Again, so many people that give their lives to Christ, all they want to do is sit back and be serious and stuffy. They have the, what I call the Sutton scowl. Anybody remember Eddie Sutton? The basketball coach for OSU. I mean, he walked around like, there he is. I mean, that's a Sutton scowl. I mean, that's what he was known for. And again, people, listen, a lot of times as Christians, we can walk around and have that kind of face. Oh, life, I mean, I'm not happy. Happiness is overrated. Enjoy life, what's that? Well, I'll quote the great philosopher Gretchen Wilson. I'm here for the party. Amen. I'm here for the party and I'm letting my hair down and I'm going to enjoy life. You know why? Because I'm riding with Christ. I'm riding with Christ. I know the Savior of the world. He has given me another breath to breathe. And my final destination is heaven. And I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that my past is wiped away. I know that my marriage is a blessing. I know that my kids are given to me because of Him. I know that I can have the strength to overcome anything because of Christ. So don't tell me that I don't have anything to be joyful about. I have a lot of things to be joyful about, and we are called to enjoy this life. Amen? Hear this, Galatians 5:22, listen to what it says. Go ahead and show that up there. But the fruit of the Spirit, and again, if you know Jesus, you have the Spirit living inside of you, and you're supposed to produce this kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't laugh. If you were in front of 250 people, you would probably mess up your words too. So get over it. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. Now stop right there. Love. What's the second one? Joy. You know what that joy word is a part of? Enjoy. Enjoy. If you are a Christian, the fruit that you ought to produce is joy. It ought to be joy. Again, you ought to think about that. The truth is God's blessings, and He blesses those who enjoy Him and enjoy the life that He's given. Look at Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You want God's blessing? Enjoy it. Enjoy Him. Give Him all you've got. I'll give you an example of this. I believe that one of the reasons that our church is so blessed is because we walk in here and we enjoy Christ. We clap, we smile, we have a good time. We clap, we smile, we have a good time. You know what I'm saying? I was fixing to start something, wasn't I? You guys are fixing to go with me. But I didn't have anywhere to go with it, so we're not going to do that. But I truly believe that God has blessed us with people that enjoy life, people that, you know, again, that are lost, that need a Savior. I believe that He's even blessed us monetarily. I mean, again, He wrote us a check for $2 million. You know why He wrote it? Because I believe that He looked at our church and said, they're going to enjoy this. I'm not going to give it to those sour pusses over there because they don't enjoy me. And I'm going to give it to them because they'll actually have fun with it and use it to reach unchurched people. And so again, I believe that God blesses people, and the verse tells us that He blesses us when we enjoy Him. It says, delight in yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Here's another thing that is an amazing truth. Enjoying God brings Him glory. Amen. Think about it. If you don't write anything else down, write this down. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Think about it. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. In other words, this world, you're going to experience some great things, but guess what? The world's enjoyment is temporary. You can buy a new gun, go shoot it for a few days, and it's old, and you want another one. It's temporary. You can buy a new dress, wear it once, and it's old, and you want to sell it or take it to OARC. Right? But here's the truth. When you enjoy Christ, when you receive His love and His blessing and His joy and His peace, guess what? Everything that He offers is eternal. It's eternal. And He is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Right? And so, again, one of the ways that we can assure that we are making the most out of the life that we have with Christ is to live our lives as a gift to be enjoyed. Number two is this, and I'm done. Ready? Number two, this ride is a gift. Don't waste it. This ride is a gift. Don't waste it. The other day, I was sitting at the Bank of Western Oklahoma. How many you guys bank there? Anybody? They need to pay me. I'm giving them a plug. But I was sitting there. I was sitting in front of Kayla Stevens, you know, gal that I know, and good gal. I was sitting in front of her, and I was trying to open a bank account or, you know, get a banking account open, and I, all of a sudden, a crown fell off of one of my teeth. And so I was sucking on a butterscotch. That was the worst thing to do. right? Your dentist always tells you, you can't eat hard candy because it'll pull your crowns off. Well, I didn't believe him, and I did it. And my crown fell off as I was sitting there, right? So I'm sitting there, and she goes, is something wrong? And I said, yeah, I think my crown just fell off. You know, I mean, it's like, and then I felt like a redneck. I was like, come on. So I say, I got to go because it was almost like 3 o'clock and I got to get to the dentist. I don't want to look like a redneck for a week, you know? And so I was like, I got to go to the dentist. And so I go to like the first dentist and they're not open. I call the second dentist. I can't find a dentist open on Friday in this town. Come on. Why aren't they open? Come on, stop taking vacations. I'm sorry. No, please take vacations. Go for it. But anyways, I couldn't find a dentist. So again, I had to wait like 3 or 4 or 5 days. And then I decided, well, I need to get this done. So they called me and they said, well, you drive to Yukon, you can get it done because this dentist, you know, drives in. And so I drive down to Yukon and I get there and they put this crown on. It takes like half the day. And so when I get home, I get home and my buddy Jerry right over here, he's standing by the door and he's our bouncer. Jerry's in my barn and I kind of walk in and I'm, you know, sweeping my barn or whatever. And he's like, you act like, you know, you don't have anything to do. And I was like, well, my day is wasted. I had to go get a crown and all this stuff. And he's like, hey, you know what? You're still kicking, aren't you? And I was like, I'm going to kick you if you say that again. And so, again, he showed me, even, you know, Jerry, he showed me, he said, you're still kicking, aren't you? And I learned something. I am still kicking. As long as I'm alive, I can make a difference. I don't have to waste my time. I can make a difference. And so, again, and God affirmed this in my life. Even last night, I was on Instagram, I was looking at a pastor's Instagram and all that stuff, and he knows this guy that his name's Russell Wilson. Anybody ever heard of Russell Wilson? Quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, right? I mean, the Super Bowl, you know, champ, all that stuff, going back to the Super Bowl. And I looked at his Instagram, and this is, God spoke to me, because this is what Russell Wilson wrote as his little tagline as who he is. And he said this, one thing I have learned to do is not waste my time. I mean, again, great man of God. God's blessing him. He's going to win another Super Bowl, I believe. But he says, one thing I have learned to do is not waste my time. And you say, okay, Bo, what does a wasted life look like? I'll give you, here's the answer. You ready for this? I can answer it in one sentence. A life is wasted when it's not used for the glory of God. I'll say it again. A life is wasted when it's not used for the glory of God. How many of you guys have ever, again, given a gift to someone and, you know, you give them this gift and you come back in a year and the gift is still in the box? Anybody? Anybody been there? Yeah, my dad, he's the worst person to buy for. You know why? Because he doesn't use anything. We bought him a Keurig, you know, one of those coffee maker dilly whoppers. You know, that you make like coffee in, it is like sitting there. I think he gave it to the neighbor. I don't think he ever used it. I mean, again, my dad is the hardest guy to buy for. He never uses the gifts that we've given him, except for one time. And again, my dad, they lived in Enid for a while, and they lived right on the golf course. Again, they found this little house right on the golf course. One of the greatest gifts that I ever bought my dad was one of those golf ball picker uppers. You know, those little things that you walk around. I mean, it's the only gift that he ever used in my entire life. The only gift that he ever used. And again, you say, well, what's the point? Well, here's the point. When we are not used for the purpose that God has given us, then we are wasting our life. You say, what's the purpose? Again, when we live for today and not for eternity, we are wasting our life. When we live for ourselves and not for the Lord, we are wasting our life. And you say, well, how do I ride as a gift and not waste it? Here's how you ride as a gift and not waste it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Fight the enemy with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. Because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You say, I don't want to waste my life. Then live your life centered around God. You might be a welder. You might be an oily. You might be a farmer. You might be a rancher. But here's the truth. When you center your life around God, when you exalt, you exalt Christ through your life, when you pray for God to use everything that you have, you will make a difference in this world. And it will be an eternal difference. Not just a temporary difference. Listen to the words of Paul. The man, again, that had a goal of not wasting his life. Listen to what it says. Philippians chapter 4, it says, do everything without complaining, arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright or like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day that Christ returns, or when Christ returns, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Do you hear his goal? I mean, he doesn't want to be useless. And I'll give you the greatest example, earthly example of this that I've got. You ready? The greatest earthly example for this, for enjoying life and not wasting it, is my mom. How many of you guys have met my mom? Anybody met my mom? My mom is she's like 5 foot, little bitty gal, and her name is Cricket, like the bug, right? Again, a funny story, I was in the mall one time when I was a kid, and this lady that knew my mom from back in the day forgot my mom's name, and she's yelling into this restaurant where we were at, she's yelling, Chigger, Chigger. She knew it was a bug, but she didn't remember my mom's name was Cricket. So she's yelling, Chigger. And so anyways, my mom is like, I always say she's like a chihuahua on crack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's just full of energy. She's like a 16-year-old caught in a 65-year-old body. I mean, if the party's happening, my mama's in the middle. She's the table dancer. I mean, seriously, she's the one who has all the fun. I mean, people used to come to my house when I was in high school and in college, and they wouldn't hang out with me. They'd hang out with my mom. And I'm like, let's go somewhere. I don't want to hang out with my mom. I mean, again, my mom she was the life of the party. She is what I would call a spitfire. Again, we would go out when I was in high school, and we did this thing called toilet papering. Anybody ever been teepeed? Yeah, if you've ever been teepeeing, again, it's where you grab toilet paper and you unwind it and you throw it over trees and houses and you teepee their whole house. Well, we used to do that, and guess what? My mom drove the getaway van. I mean, we used to pull up to someone's house around the corner, and my mom, we were in the Plymouth Caravan. She'd roll the door, slide the door open, we'd haul out, and we'd blah, blah. And then we'd throw those toilet paper rolls over there, and then we'd run back in. She's like, slam the door, let's go, woo! I mean, she is an epitome of enjoying life. It's the greatest example I've ever had. Here's the other second part about it. My mom, her greatest passion in life is her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether you were the Maytag man or the millionaire next door, my mom was going to share the love of Jesus with you. I mean, again, we would have people come over and they would fix the washing machine and she'd be like, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you with all his, life, and he gave his life for you. She enjoys life. Her greatest passion, you know what her favorite saying is? I'm hungry for a soul. I mean, I heard it all my life. I'm hungry for a soul. I want to reach more people. I want to give it all I've got. I want to do everything for the glory of my Savior. Well, here's the other side of this. Last Tuesday, my mom was diagnosed with dementia. Yeah, dementia, the disease or the, whatever, the condition that steals your memories. We knew something was going on. We knew that she couldn't remember a lot of stuff and she couldn't have a normal conversation like she used to. So again, took all these tests. She flunked them all. So she was diagnosed with dementia. But guess what? Even in the midst of that, what we could possibly look at as a tragedy, my mom still has fun. My mom takes it in stride. We were at On the Border last Sunday night, and we were just, again, we can laugh about this type of stuff, and then we cry later, okay? I mean, you guys know how I feel. I mean, we can cry, and then we laugh about it. Well, we were on the border, and again, my mom, she loves to just talk to people. I mean, you can't go anywhere. I mean, you just kind of got to drag her because she likes to talk to people. Well, we walk in and this couple walks in behind us and this guy has a cowboy hat on. And my mom was like, my little baby boy, Bo, he's a cowboy preacher. And she starts talking to this couple and it ends up to this couple. And again, I can't remember exactly. They're from Weatherford, but their son-in-law is the lawyer in town. Sims? I don't know him. Aaron Sims, I guess, son-in-law, his wife is their daughter or whatever. So anyways, my mom's got this conversation going with this couple that we've never met. And then here's the other thing about it. We sit down and again, we know, we know my mom's, you know, losing some of her memories and it's kind of funny to us. And we try to have fun with it because we don't want to cry it on the border. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, Mom, when's my birthday? And she's like, January. And I'm like, nope. When is it? She's like, July. And I'm like, yes, it's July. What day is it, Mom? And she's like, the 3rd. And I'm like, nope, that's my other brother. What day is it? Oh, it's the 20th. Oh, yes, it's the 20th. And she figured it out. Again, we laugh. And she looked at me and she goes, I'm not crazy. I mean, again, the epitome and the greatest example in my life of someone who enjoys life and loves Jesus. The greatest example that I have. And she may lose her mind, but she will enjoy every minute of it. And she will praise the Lord. And so here's the question. Will you have enjoyed this ride as a gift to the glory of God, or will you have wasted it on the temporary? Will you? Again, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what your, I don't know what this says, Jerry. Oh, it's just a napkin to wipe my eyes. Thank you. But here's the truth. I don't want to waste my life. I want to love the Lord my God with all I've got. I want to love my family with all I've got. I want to love this church with all I've got. You know why? Because I want to bring my Lord and Savior the glory that he deserves. The glory that he deserves. And so here's the question. Do you view this ride as a gift from God? Are you enjoying this ride for the glory of God, or are you just on this ride for the temporary? Are you using every day to make a difference in eternity, or are you just living for the temporary? Those are the questions that only you can answer. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Again, maybe you're here today and you're just the fuddy-duddy. You're a Christian, but no one would know it because you got the Sutton scowl. Can I just challenge you today? It's time for you to change. You know why? Because you're giving us, all of us other Christians, a bad rap. You say, well, I don't have anything to be grateful for. You're breathing, aren't you? You say, I don't, life's been hard. Join the crowd. You say, oh, Jesus, I mean, he took everything serious. No, he didn't. I believe he laughed his face off. And God tells us that we are to enjoy this life. And so maybe some of you Christians in here today, you need to just, you know, drop your guard. You need to stop being a fuddy-duddy, and you need to start enjoying life. And when the pit happens, you need to continue to enjoy life because you're not walking it alone. You're with Christ. He's there. Even in death, we have the best is yet to come. And so listen, maybe that's you, and you just need to confess to say, okay, God, I have not enjoyed the first half of my life or the first two-thirds of my life. I've not enjoyed any of that, and I want to start enjoying my life. Change me. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you just need to pray that right now. Maybe you're here today, and again, you've never received the most important gift, which is Jesus himself. Again, you've never given your life to him. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to give you a true life. Listen, John 3:36 says this, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. You say, what does it mean to believe? It means that you give him your life. You make him the Lord of your life. Maybe right there in your chair, you just say, okay, God, I want to accept your son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. And he wants to give me a life that I've never had. And I want him to come into my life. And I want him to forgive me today. And I want to enjoy the rest of my life with him riding next to me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that for the first time. Listen, you now have a personal relationship with the Savior of the world. Because you know why? You believe in his son. You believe in Jesus. And you've made him the Lord of your life. And so listen, if you did that just now, we want to know about it because we don't want you to ride alone. I mean, obviously you've got the Lord in your life now, but we want to ride alongside of you and help you. So we can provide resources like Bibles. That, you know, you can give you a booklet that's what's the next step. So you know what the next step is now that you've joined your life with Christ. Listen, it's a free gift. And he wants you to enjoy it. And he wants you to use your life and use him to bring him glory. And so listen, if you just made that commitment to the Lord for the first time today, fill out one of these orange cards, place it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you about your decision. You say, I don't have an orange card. Text your name to the number on the screen and we will contact you. You don't have to explain what your decision was. Just text your name and we'll contact you about your decision. It's that simple. And so here's what I'm going to do. If you again, need prayer, fill out the orange card. We will call you. We will pray for you. We will help you in whatever way we can. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. We're going to be dismissed. And I hope that you walk out of here making the commitment to view this life as a gift because we're not promised tomorrow, and making the commitment to enjoy it and to not waste it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to ride this ride with you. And I thank you that when we turn to you and we give you our life, we can experience this adventure that like no other with you. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the breath that you've given us. And I pray that we would enjoy it for your glory. And that people that are unchurched, people that don't know you personally, that they would look at us and they would say, they actually have joy in their lives. They actually, you know, are changed by what this God has done in their life. And that they would desire to want that. And that we would see life change because of how you've used us. And so, Lord, may you receive all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Have a great afternoon. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction.